You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Here in Colossians 3, the problem with the church, and I'll tell you, I've enjoyed Colossians. I'm ashamed to tell you, it was never my favorite book. My favorite book is Philippians. And maybe it's because Philippians is very remedial. It's not deep theology, and I loved it. But Colossians, I know my wife for many years, her favorite text was Colossians chapter 1. This is our church verse. We chose it in 1976. It's Colossians 1:18. I love the chapter. I love many chapters, but the theology, I think sometimes, I'm afraid to say, ashamed to say this, it scared me a little bit, frightened me. And I said, I'm going to conquer this book. And I did everything for a month or two just studying the heritage. I just studied where it was. I got a map out and studied it. I read about the city and read about the area. I read how far it was from Ephesus and how it was a city that was given over to wool and to dye. And then they take that about 120 miles and cart it to Ephesus, the seaport. And then they get it out and became very wealthy city. But the problem is, though commerce was wealthy, the church lost its focus. And please hear me, when a church loses her focus, the country loses its focus. Amen. Like people, like priests. The people become like the leadership. And what we have done, it's just amazing how, Brother Cooper, you could talk about this. You've traveled the country. We're closing down churches on Sunday night all over America. 385,000 churches, and most are closed on Sunday night. No wonder why our country now has over 40 days a year given to sodomy. Recognizing sodomy. Over 40, including our president last week, that Easter as transvestite day. What a blasphemy. Hey, you try that to the Muslim church. Huh? That was disrespectful to our God. And I'll tell you what, that's not going unnoticed by God. Well, why doesn't God deal with it? God will.
Yes, sir.
The wheels of mercy run very slow.
Yes, sir.
God's going to deal with that. Mm-hmm. You cannot continue to blaspheme God and say man and man are the same as man and woman. That's blasphemy.
Yes,
God says in the last days, Romans, that men will burn in their lust for men and women for women. That's against God's institution. Jesus created male and female. You say, you know you're in California. I know where I'm at. I haven't lost my mind yet. I know I'm in the Silicon Valley. But God's word is still God's word. And when a church loses her focus, what you did last weekend, nearly 9,000 people reaching people for Christ. That's our mission, to get the gospel, singing hymns, Brother Romero, hymns and songs and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God.
Amen.
House to house, door to door, Amen. Giving the good news, rescuing the perishing, going to the prisons, going to reach everybody, red, yellow, black, brown, white, they're all precious in His sight.
Amen.
He's not willing that any should perish. That's why we want the Brazilians here. God, we love the Brazilians. We have the Hispanics. We have the Indian ministry. We have the Filipino ministry. Well, we have a couple people in the white ministry. Hey, I love them all.
Amen.
My son, Brother Tim, pastors in Arizona. He says, Dad, he was here visiting. He said, the thing I missed probably the most, my church is basically Caucasian. I miss seeing all the groups. I grew up, he said, with the Filipinos. Best man at his wedding was a Filipino. He said, I grew up with the Hispanics. I grew up with we've got Vietnamese in here. We have about 90 different countries represented all the time in our church. I love that. That's how it was in Acts chapter 2, by the way, chapter 1. I love reaching the multitudes. God's brought us the mission field. And so with that in mind, we saw verse 1, 2, and 3, and 4 a week ago. But verse 5, the Bible says, mortify. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. He said the problem with this church, look at chapter 2, verse 23, the latter part. To the satisfying of the flesh. These Colossians satisfied the flesh. And if you'll know historically, when you begin to worship the gods, there are always gods of immorality. You kill somebody, you're going to get 70 virgins when you go to heaven. That's one religion. You kill people, you get to go to heaven. And now you have said that the false gods deal with the lustful craving of sensuality. And today this church was having that. They were given, we're seeing it in the scripture tomorrow. They wanted to satisfy my flesh. It's all about me. I've got to be happy. I don't care if I hurt my children. I don't care if I hurt my wife. I don't care if I hurt my husband. I don't care who I have to be happy. Why don't you not only grow up, but why don't we become Christian? Amen. It's not about you being happy. It's you taking responsibility. If you're going to say, this week we'll have a wedding here, and the wonderful, beautiful bride and the handsome groom, they are going to commit themselves to one another for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health. That's what it's all about. Marriage is not riches, happiness, fun, Disneyland, going here, going there, I'm having a party, it's the best. Well, guess what? That's not marriage. Marriage is sorrows and weeping and children getting sick and hospitals and marriage is being close to one another as you lay to rest your mother or your dad or your sibling or whatever it may be in life. Marriage is not always easy, but it's marriage is right. I would that all men marry, Paul says. Everyone gets married. It's a wonderful thing. And yet we live in a society now, because of sin, marriage is out. The scripture today, it reminds us there's an old man and there's a new man. I got saved many, many years ago. When I got saved, I have a new man that wants to do right, because the Holy Spirit lives with me and he tells me, don't do that, Jack. No, don't do that. Don't say that. And he always convicts me, that's the new man. And the old man says, I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway. You've been in this church any length of time, you've heard this illustration 100 times, but it's such a perfect one. The Indian chief got saved. The missionary led him to Christ. And he went back up the river to go to other places to reach other Indians for Christ. And he came back down and he saw the Indian chief some months later. And he said, Chief, how you doing? He said, big war inside. He goes, what do you mean, big war inside? He said, one dog, two dog. One dog wants to do wrong. Right? One dog wants to do right. And he said, well, who wins? He goes, the one I feed the most. The chief got it. You feed your flesh and you're going to reap, and I am going to reap the consequences of the flesh. Young people, yes, life is hard, but right. But with a songwriter, he's with the Lord now. Do right till the stars don't. Just do right. Right is always right and wrong is always wrong. And this text today, we're going to see it, the old man, the new man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. Our flesh craves to do wrong. We crave to lie. The report is out, 95% claim that they lie on a regular basis to those that are closest to them. Children often lie. Parents lie. We lie to one another. We lie. But our flesh wants to lie. Our flesh wants to steal. Our flesh wants to be immoral. Our flesh, 70% of Americans today have given themselves over to pornography. If that's true, report just came out this week, 70%. If I had 70% of this church stand up And the fastest growing group of pornography lovers is women. I'm going to tell you something. There's no such thing as being a good pastor, a good father, a good Christian, a good mother, a good child with pornography. And kids, you're going to start putting things in your mind at an early age, and they will tempt you, they will try you, they will test you all the days of your life. I heard a preacher say one time that he said, I looked up and there was a picture of something very nasty and nudity, and I looked up and he said, I turned it away, and he said, I want to tell you something. I can't be responsible for the first look when it's just right there, but I can be responsible for the second. I don't believe it's possible to raise good kids with these cell phones. Age 12 to 27 is the Z generation. The Z generation says we don't want to work. We don't want a job. We do not want responsibility. We want things given to us. And we are living in a government that they just keep handing out for everything. You want a free cell phone? Government will give you one. You want money for groceries? We'll give you a little credit card that's free. You won't have to pay for it. You want to go to school and not pay your bill? Well, we'll pay it for you. No, sir. If a man will not work, he should not eat. Amen. That's the Bible. Man will never be fulfilled with violating the word of God. Man must work. Yes. There's fulfillment in work. I'm going to get to my text, but I'm having a good time with this right now. Paul says, mortify. Mortify is not horrify. Mortify is what the dentist does to you. Now, we have a dentist in the church, and thank God for the dentist. I led a dentist to Christ years ago, and I tell you what, I said, I'm just shocked you got saved, because I don't think a dentist can get saved. What they do, they say, they put... Brother Floyd, would you sit right there, please? I was going to call on you. What, they put a little smock on you. This is going to be great. And they always say, this won't hurt. I want to tell you, that's why I don't think dentists could say it. They lie. It always hurts. I can get by with the lower jaw. But that, oh, the eye teeth, that is, you know what I'm talking about? Dr. May, are you in here? You're barely saved. Yeah, there you go. God bless you. And they come at you with this big old needle. And they say, and they all say, just a little pinch. That's what they, a little pinch. I said to a doctor, just a little pinch, it won't hurt that bad. I said, good, you get here, I'll get there with that needle. You sit here. Maybe a little bit more than a pinch. I knew he was lying. Put your head back. So they jerk your head back there. Open your mouth. Sort of like, oh, I got to tell this other story. I went to see this doctor a few years ago, not a dentist, but just a medical doctor, and I didn't know it was going to be a woman. I'm sitting there on the edge of the bed, you know, like this, and the first thing she says, put your shoulders up, sit up straight. Welcome to you. I hope you're having a good day too, I said. She said, you want to get old and be slumped over like that? You want to look like that? Your shoulders rolled in? Sit up straight. I said, have you been talking to my wife? Back to mortifying. Teenagers up there, this is your bus captain. I got the needle right here. Head back, mouth open. Let's get a good picture so his bus kids can see this. This is going to come in like it's going to go... It's going to go up through the roof of your mouth, out your nose, back the corner of your eyelid, and then back. This is going to be great. This is going to be wonderful. Are you ready?
I know.
Your sister's loving this down there, brother. Your mother is against this. Your grandmother's having the time of her life. I'm just glad your grandmother's awake. Are you ready? We know what this thing's going to do. What tooth do you want me to take out?
None of them.
You remind me of your little boy right now, Joel. Doesn't he look like Joel? This little weapon here is going to mortify him. What does mortification do? It deadens. It deadens. Did that hurt now?
Not yet.
It's done. Here's your tooth.
Thank you.
There you go. All right. Now, I wish I really had a, I was going to borrow. Here's my message today. Let's go to the dentist. I was going to borrow a needle, Dr. May, from you. And I said, I don't think she's going to want me to do that because she's probably going to be liable when I stick him. That would have been so awesome. It would have been great to bring you up here and mortify him a little bit. Oh, my goodness gracious. Mortify is to deaden. It's my responsibility. You see, my flesh craves to do wrong. My flesh craves to sleep. My flesh craves to be lazy. My flesh craves to just have life as a big party. But my flesh has to be denied. I have to say no to the flesh. I don't know if you knew. I know I told the men I was preaching from this text. But this morning when you opened in prayer, help us to die to the flesh. Die to the flesh. It tells me many things. One, you probably listened at men's prayer. Second, you probably looked up the scripture. Thirdly, God spoke to your heart. I'm to die to my flesh. We've had such a good marriage for 51 years, but I tell you what, sometimes my old prideful way, I wish I'd have sealed my lips sometime. I wish I'd been quiet sometime. I wish I'd have been not so opinionated at times. Yes, have convictions and have this and that, but God gave us two ears and one mouth. We ought to listen more than we speak. Mortify, the Bible says, therefore your members. And so as we talk about our body today, members are literally our body. All these members must be mortified. Here's what I do in my prayer life. I always say, Lord, one of my first prayers every day, I give you my mind. I normally laugh, says not much up there, is there? That's one of my members, my mind. My mind can get overwhelmed with sadness and sorrow and grief and disappointment. It's hopeless. That's why, for me personally, I cannot watch the news. I cannot listen to the news. I don't put on my radio. I don't want to. I gave it up on election day 2020. I said, I don't want to listen to any of this stuff. So how do you know what's going on? I listen to people talk. I give God my mind. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I don't want my mind to think wrong and think evil and thinking discouragement. It's so easy to get there. My mind. And then God, I want to give you my eyes. I want to give you these eyes so that my eyes would see, open mine eyes that I might see glimpses of the truth that I ask for me. I want my eyes open to righteousness. I want to see things that are good. God, I give you my ears. I want to hear good things today. I give you my mouth. I want to say good things today. And the attitude in which I say it, I want there to be kindness in my voice. And then, God, I give you my hands. And God, I give you my feet. And God, I give you my heart. And God, every day I say, I give you my life. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And you know what I find out through the day, Brother Reimers? I find out that as I've done that, then sometimes during the day, my mind, my eyes, my ears, my mouth might begin to drift away from God in his righteousness and drift back over to my flesh. And I need to then say, Lord, please, I've asked you for a seal on my ears, and I'm hearing things. I need to walk away. I'm reading things I should not read. I'm hearing things I should. I'm doing things. I'm frustrated. I'm upset. That's my flesh. And so I'm going to mortify my members. Now, he begins to tell us what our members are, what our members desire. He said, I want you to know that your members desire fornication. Fornication is immoral lifestyles. It's the Greek word porneia. Porneia, where we get the word pornography. And the word says, you see, In the flesh, it's going to want fornication. It's going to want adultery. It's going to want the printed page, the pictures or whatever. It's going to want that. The flesh desires that. Male and female. That's why the greatest growing group right now is women with pornography. We want to see that. The flesh wants to see it. But I'm going to tell you, child of God, you can live a lifetime. I failed a lot of things, but I've never gone to that site. I've not gone to those. Why? Because I do not want to throw away this ministry and have God's people hurt. Now, you say, well, you're such a person. No, I'm not a perfect person. I'm so far away from what I should be. But there's some things I could make a decision. God, my wife's firm on this, has our whole marriage. She said, I think when a man's into pornography, he's already destroyed his marriage. He's committed adultery with his eyes. You sweet young boys up there, God bless you. You're going to live in a wicked society, but you ought to live without going to websites and without going to pictures or wherever you can find these things. You ought to live where one girl comes into your life and it's death to us part. She's my wife. Not all these fake pictures. Girls are watching because apparently they can, Photoshop moles and this stuff and make you all look flawless. And you become, I want to mirror that in my appearance, in my dress. But the danger is you're advertising that you're for sale. So he says fornication. Remember that we said that initially, these gods, you study the gods of yesteryear and even the gods in these religions, they're always gods that are given over to impurity, physical impurity, fornication. Notice what he says, the second word, inordinate uncleanness. And uncleanness is just lustful, filthy living. Everything's nasty, everything's dirty, everything is about me. The next word is inordinate affection. That is, I have depraved passions. This is my passion. It's all moral sins. It said, evil concupiscence, which is wide open cravings to satisfy me. That's what that word is. It's cravings for me. I need to be happy. I'm going to do what makes me happy. I'm not happy in my marriage. I'm not happy with my children. I'm not happy with my parents. I'm not happy in life. And so I'm going to satisfy me. And it's an amazing thing how the devil will bring someone by that will try to make you happy. She, men, cannot keep her own husband happy. But she thinks she's going to keep you happy. And you think she's going to keep you happy or vice versa. But the problem is you're going to a trap. It's a trap, the Bible says. Today's the seventh day. If you read Proverbs chapter 6 and 7 yesterday and today, it's all about the same things we're talking right now. And it's a snare, and it's like a dart that goes through the liver. That is terminal. And then he said, what's the next word? Covetousness. I want more. I want more of this living. I want more sin. Look at verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God. You see, you live that way, judgment's coming. Well, God's going to deal with it. Judgment's coming on the children of disobedience. Well, I know this person deserves it, and this person deserves it. Can I have you look right here? There's a man that deserves more judgment, I think, than any person in this room. It's your pastor. I ought to live like a life like Moses, and it's such a godly life that his face to shine in the presence of God. I have a higher responsibility than any in this room. And I know how weak and how frail I am in life. I know through the middle of the night when I'm tossing and turning, and I'm ashamed to tell you, I get worrying, and I get nervous, and I get sometimes somebody can just say something to me, and that thought, I can't get it out all night long. All night long, it keeps coming back to me and back to me. And I get up and I walk with God and I pray. And sometimes I lay back down and God allows me finally to sleep, casting all your care upon Him. But sometimes my old flesh, brother, ever see, it just worries and worries. Say, that's not right. I know, but you want to just choose the people with adultery and fornication, because you want to make sure that everybody knows their sin is worse than yours. My sin of worry is worry, casting all your care upon Him. Be anxious, be worried for nothing. Everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let's stop finding sin with everybody else. People that love to magnify another one's sin is because they're always covering their own. I'm not justifying sin. I'm just saying, as Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. We find fault with people. How they raised their kids wrong. Wait till you raise your kids. We just happen to be blessed. I don't know how, but all six of our kids are in the ministry. Three kids and three in-laws in the ministry. It's just the grace of God. 14 kids all in church today. It's the grace of God. 14 grandkids. Well, I know somebody, their grandkids don't go to church. I get those prayer requests everywhere I travel. On my emails, I had one on my desk this morning. Just I read the sorrows of people's lives. I am not going to judge a person how his kids turned out. And I'm not going to stand in judgment of mankind. David said, my sin is ever before me. I can tell you my sin is ever before me. Oh, I don't believe I've done something to disqualify me from being the pastor of this church. But now, wait a minute. Let him without sin cast the first stone. Stop thinking you're so perfect, everybody else is so wrong. And I am not justifying sin. So he goes on to say, as we go to the dentist, I want you to put these things off. Number one, verse 8, put off anger. Anger is, we think anger is, I'll tell you what. Anger is, I'm seeking revenge. I'm going to get even. In your marriage, you're going to have to be careful about revenge. You have to be very careful. A little boy in recent weeks, what was it, a 13-year-old boy killed his parents. He was seeking revenge. That's what anger is. Then he says wrath. Wrath is explosions. That's why your little 2-year-old that goes shopping with you and wants to get something, and you say no, and they explode, you better check that early in life. Explosions. And then what does he say? Malice. That's having such ill will built up, I'm willing to hurt that person. And then the word blasphemy. I'm going to hurt another person's name. I'm going to hurt their name. Why? And then he says, filthy communication. That's obscene, foul speaking. And then he says, verse number 9, lie not one to another. But he says in verse number 8, now put off. But look what he says in verse 10, put on. And he says in verse 12, put on. Verse 10, put off, put on the new man. Not this old man that we've been reading about, but the new man renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 12, and put on as the elect of God, put on some holiness and bowels of mercy, being kind and kindness and the humbleness of mind and meekness. I have power, but it's under control, and long suffering. It's just reverse. It's suffering long. And forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you forgive him. Let's try to finish it up. So we must continually deaden my flesh. We must, you go to the dentist to get Novocaine, I must deaden. I'm responsible to deaden my flesh. How? With the Word of God. Here's what the Bible says. Now are ye clean through the word, John 15. You're battling porneia, pornography, adultery with your eyes. you're battling lying. The church can't clean you up. Baptism cannot clean you up. But the Word of God says you're clean through the Word. So we have to get in the Word of God. Secondly, we get cleaned up through confession. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And here it is, cleanse us. And so when I sin against man or sin against God, where it's between me and God, I worry, whatever it might be, a sadness overgrips me, loneliness overgrips me, and all of a sudden I'm just overwhelmed. I don't need to tell that to my wife. I need to tell God. I sin against my wife. I need to tell my wife. Years ago, about 45 years ago, a lady came forward with the invitation. She stayed in our church for about 35 years. And she came and said, Pastor, I want to confess something to you. I've been mad at you for the last year. I wish you'd have never told me that. I didn't know that. And they were in our church. They were faithful. In fact, the last thing they ever did, she was having some surgery. My wife made a meal. We took it to the house. Next week, they left the church mad. Never told me. Said, no, we're not going to be involved. I thought, what in the world are you doing? I had someone just in the last few weeks said, I just want to let you know for the last many years I've been upset with you. Don't tell me that. I never knew that. That really helped me. That kept me up. Why would they be mad at me? What are you doing? But God says to confess to God. I'm going to be clean as I confess to God. You don't have to come to a little room. I'm on this side. You're on that side. You tell me your sins. What can I do with your sins? No one can wash away my sins but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so I need, if I'm going to get in my flesh, I need a word of God. I need to confess. And then it's my Fred Sly verse. I've got to have dependence upon God. 40 years, 35 years ago, He gave me John 15:5. For without me, you can do nothing. I can't have victory over sin or discouragement or whatever. I can't have victory without realizing He's in charge. He must increase, John 3:30. I must decrease. Number four, I need to be right with God and with man. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. We have really tried that in our entire marriage. Last thing we do at night is we pray, and I've tried never to pray mad at my wife and vice versa. I hope we've made that. I think we've tried to. I'll tell you this for sure, as she's smiling down there, it's hard to understand women. Women, I'll tell you the problem. I'll tell you the problem right here with women. They don't think like men. Start thinking like I think. Well, then you know the truth is, and I'm jesting, we have begun to think a lot similar thoughts because the two have become one. Oh, I'm not saying it's perfect. But some of you that think, this woman, I can't live with her. This guy, I can't. God can work that out. And we're out of time. I want to say, as we go to the dentist. Do you remember back in chapter 1, we discovered we were tripart. As God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, a triune God. We're trichotomist. We're three parts. We are, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we are spirit, soul, which is mind, and body. And remember we said that yoga puts the body first, the mind first. Yoga is all about controlling your mind. Dangerous. Because the Christian is going to have victory. It first has to be spirit, which is spirituality, right with God. Then the second thing, your mind. And then the last thing, physiologically, is your body. When the body begins to tell the mind what to do and the mind tells the spirit, you're going to have all these sins. Here's what it is. Your mind, your spirit says, walking with God, I don't want that. The illustration where in the morning the alarm goes off, if you use an alarm, the alarm goes off, your body says, I'm not getting out of bed. And your body tells your mind, I'm going to stay here. And your mind tells the spirit, I know I'm supposed to walk with you and read your word, but I'm not going to do it today. I'm too tired. We gave way to our body. And that's what this church at Colossae was doing. It was a great church. And Paul was reminding me, he must have preeminence. But the problem is they wanted their gods and goddesses and God. And they merged them together. My suggestion is this week, let's go to the dentist. Before I have prayers, anybody have a dentist appointment this week? You're good Christians. Not one of us have a dentist appointment this week. And if you go to the dentist with emergency this week, you say to the dentist, male or female, you're going to give me this little pinch, and you're going to tell me it's not going to hurt that much. Let's start with you in the chair first, and I'll do you, and then see how that works. Let's go to the dentist. Mortify yourself. Our Father, I thank you so much for having these teenagers with us, young people today. Thank you for the Brazilian dear people, our guests that are here, our faithful members. This book of Colossians has been such an inspiration to me, such a help. And now we're moving quickly, but I pray as we continue to go through it this year, that God would open up our eyes to righteousness. It's so easy to do wrong. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Report came out this week that 1/3 of all American babies this year, every year, are born out of wedlock. 1/3 of all babies. I think we're a country given over to the lust of the flesh. 70% of all Americans, young and old, into pornography. I think we can all see the condition of our country.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.